You're listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org. So throughout the season of Lent, these past 6 weeks, we have spent quite a bit of time in the Gospel of Luke. It's kind of a mysterious gospel, Luke is. It's very different from Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke. Did I say Luke?
Yeah.
John. We've been in the Gospel of John, which is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It starts with this description of Jesus as being one with God, as being with God from the beginning. And Jesus is described in the first chapter of John as this light that shines in the darkness. And it's a light that cannot be overcome by darkness. And so throughout the story of John, John uses these images of light and dark in a symbolic way. Darkness is often equated with evil or with unbelief. So Jesus said at one point that those who do evil deeds do them in the dark because they don't want their deeds exposed. And so to sort of highlight that, there was a teacher named Nicodemus who had some questions of Jesus, and he came to visit Jesus, but he came at night under the cover of darkness. And Jesus told him about the need to be reborn, to be born of water and of spirit. And this was an educated, intelligent person, but he didn't get it. He was in the dark, if you will. Light, on the other hand, is equated with knowing or with belief. Jesus said, those who do what is true come to the light so that it can clearly be seen that their good deeds have been done in God. And so a story to sort of highlight that is when Jesus met with the woman at the well. They met at high noon in the brightest time of the day. This was in Samaria, so enemy territory, and she got it. She understood what Jesus was saying about living water and new life, and she spread the news to everybody in her town, and everybody in that town came and believed what Jesus had to say. Now, today's story takes place on the third day after Jesus was crucified on Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath, so there couldn't be any work or any travel. So it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And I'm going to read today's scripture in two sections. This is John chapter 20. I'm going to start with the first 10 verses. Hear these words from John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. I hope you noticed that this story started with the description of the time of day. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. So early in the day. She is grieving deeply. She does not understand how this horrible thing could have happened. Now, most of us are familiar with Easter accounts where the women come with spices to anoint Jesus' body. But this story in John doesn't say anything about anointing. Mary is coming alone. It doesn't say she has anything with her. It doesn't say why she is going. Jesus' body had already been anointed in the previous chapter. As he was laid in the tomb, it was Nicodemus as a matter of fact, who brought 100 pounds of spices to anoint Jesus' body as he was laid in the tomb. So there's no specific reason listed as to why Mary Magdalene would have come to the tomb. I think she was just incredibly sad, and she wanted to visit the grave of her teacher and her friend. But when she gets there, the tomb is open, and grave robbing was very common in those days. She runs to get Peter and this disciple that Jesus loved. Most people think it's John. We'll say that. We'll call him that. And then they have that little contest. You know, John got there first, but Peter went in. It just always makes me roll my eyes. I don't know why that is included, but it is. So the tomb is empty. The grave cloths are there, but the body's not. And then there's this interesting line that says that the other disciple, John, saw and believed. What did he believe? I think he believed what Mary had said, that somebody had stolen Jesus' body, because the next line is, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So the body's gone. Mary has told him it's been stolen. And then the part that makes me mad every time I read it, they return to their homes. Not a word to Mary. Not one condolence, not an ounce of consolation. It almost sounds like they shrugged, like, well, he's gone, and went back home. Now, to be fair, it does not say that. And they shrugged. It does not say that. But that's what it feels like to me. They just left, and she's still bereft. She's crying at this tomb. But the sun's coming up. Let me continue with verse 11. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things he had said to her. So when the guys go their own way, Mary's left there in the garden, tortured with grief, beyond measure with sadness. And she looks into the tomb and she sees these two angels standing there. Now, usually when an angel appears in Scripture, they begin by saying, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear not," or something like that. Mary does not seem fazed in the least to see two angels standing there. They ask her why she's crying. She just simply answers their question. She turns around. She sees somebody. We know it's Jesus, but she doesn't. Why doesn't she know who it is? Maybe he looks different, or maybe her eyes are so filled with tears that she can't see. And she tells this man that she thinks is the gardener, "If you will just tell me where he is, I'll go get him myself." This is a grown man's dead body, anointed with 100 pounds of spices. This is a woman who is determined to make things right. And then Jesus said one word, "Mary." He called her by her name. And she knows that it's him. She grabs on to him. He says, "Don't do that. Don't hold on to me. I haven't ascended yet. Go tell the disciples." And then she preaches the first Easter sermon. She went and proclaimed, "I have seen the Lord." This week I've been thinking about a time when I was in high school and had applied for this scholarship. I was literally banking on getting this scholarship. It was going to make it possible for me to go to college. And I was informed that I did not get the scholarship, but I was an alternate. Well, that's like Miss America, you know, in the event that she is unable to fulfill her duties, that never happens. So I was just super bummed and sad. And I got home from work one day, and my sister said, "Somebody called today. They sounded real fancy." And I said, "Well, who was it?" And she said, "I don't know. She said you were something, and now you're something else." Now, what in the world? And I thought about it. I said, wait, did she say I was an alternate and now I was a recipient? She said, yeah, I think that's what she said. So in this instant, everything changed for me. College was now possible, where moments before had been really uncertain. And in a much larger scale, Mary's life changed. The world changed. The universe changed on Easter morning. We had been one thing, and now we're something else. Mary, as the sun is coming up, as the day gets brighter and brighter, she changes. She moves from unparalleled grief to unbridled joy, completely transformed. And Jesus said, don't hold on to me. She's got a job to do. He needs her to do something. He needs her to go and spread the good news. And I love that detail because it's typical textbook Jesus. He could have just stood there and gloried in his glory. Hug me, adore me. But no, he, as always, has his attention on bigger things, heavenly things, kingdom things. Going back to the first chapter of John, he who was with God from the beginning took the form of a human and came into the world as light to prove that his light cannot be overcome by darkness, even the darkness of death. So often we hold on so tightly to earthly things, things that tie us down, things that preoccupy us, that keep us from going to do the things that Jesus calls us to do. A lot of times we think that we're not good enough or holy enough or just enough. That even when we doubt and even when we fear and even when we fail, Jesus reminds us to just let go of the things that hold us back, because he has something for us to do. So on this Easter morning, where we are privileged to hear this old, old story once again, let's walk in the light of this new day and cling to the hope that that new life brings. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.